بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبجزيل نعمائه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. Continuing on our subject matter concerning ethics of disagreement, I believe we left before the longer recess that at the point when we were speaking with some essentials concerning the ethics and the adab of disagreement in the type of ikhtilaf, in the type of differences that are classified, and we should classify as tanawwu', differences of diversity, and that the attitude that should prevail is one of acceptance, not only of tolerance, that we should be equipped already with the knowledge that when it pertains to that type of ikhtilaf, that ikhtilaf is an ikhtilaf that is sa'igh, is an ikhtilaf that is even, if you will, almost condoned, if not at least approved by the lawgiver, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the center of our unity, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that lack of knowledge pertaining to this type of ikhtilaf certainly would be a reason why one would react to this type of ikhtilaf, to this type of differences, in a way that is not graceful, in a way that is not proper, in a way that is even perhaps aggressive. And that I concluded by reminding myself and everyone else that in addition to that, knowledge itself is not sufficient to make us respond to differences amongst us as human beings, and differences amongst us as Muslims that are of diversity nature, that ilm itself could not be enough to get us to respond to those in a way, again, that is proper, that has to do with the state of our nafs. It has to do with the lens through which we see the world. It has to do with the lens that comes before our hearts, that comes before the mirror of our hearts, and that often determines the state of our hearts. And that is why we spontaneously respond sometimes to challenges and someone differing with us, even in a state of diversity, differing with us is a challenge to us. And that challenge, we respond to it, again, depending on the state of our nafs, and we spontaneously respond in ways that do describe or do reflect what we really are inside. Again, I repeat, even if we learn and learn and learn, in other words, accumulating data, that is never sufficient for us to respond in our lives, in reality, when we are faced with the event itself in the laboratory of life, in the laboratory of human interactions, we will not respond in the way that is proper in the absence of a regular process of tezkiyat atonement. In the absence of a regular process of the tezkiyah of our nufus, whether we are young people or older people, scholars or students, knowledgeable people or lay people. And thus, again, the core issue of this is, yes, the combination of ilm and the combination with tazkiyah of our nufus, my brothers and sisters. Having said that and again reiterated it, I come to speak then more about some of the differences and how we should respond to those, keeping all of this in mind. When it comes to اختلاف التضاد, differences of opposition, such as those elements that do violate the very norms that are intended to unite us, such as all forms of bid'ah, though, as we have learned, are different in their intensity, in their scope, in their magnitude, are different in their in them being distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's norms. Though they are like that, and there is a bid'ah worse than other, there are those that are not very serious but serious. Every one of those is ikhtilafu tawad. Ikhtilafu tawad. And of course, ikhtilafu tawad of opposition is not always an act of kufr. It's not always an act of kufr, obviously. Many examples of bid'ah are bid'ah but not kufr. Even some of the bid'ah that may be major bid'ah are not necessarily kufr. And bid'ah that are minor bid'ah and relative bid'ah and so on, idafiyah, are certainly far from kufr. Yet they are wrong. Yet they are tawad, because we cannot, in principle, compromise with the bid'ah. We cannot say it's all right then. We can accept it internally inside of us, as we would accept other differences that we classified as differences of tanawwu', because simply Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu bid'atin dalala," without exception. Every bid'ah is dalala, and not there is bid'ah that is not dalala, and so on. Wherever you hear or you studied that there is bid'ah hasana and bid'ah not hasana and bid'ah this and bid'ah that, all of that, when you look at it, you will find that the word bid'ah for most of those is not in the shar'i sense. Al-ulama al-muhaqqiqoon ba'da thalik, the ulama of criticism, rahimahumullah ta'ala, of the different views of shar'i opinions, fiqh opinions, would notice and would tell us, and we would learn truly so, that when there is the word such as bid'ah hasana or bid'ah mustahabba or even bid'ah wajiba, they classify bid'ah wajiba, obligatory bid'ah, they certainly do not mean by that in any ways the bid'ah classified as shar'i bid'ah, but mostly linguistic bid'ah, cultural bid'ah, or something that is not bid'ah in any shar'i sense, something like al-maslaha al-mursala that we studied yesterday, that many examples are mentioned like that in the realm of such bid'ah mustahabba, when it is actually classified in usuli terminology as maslaha mursala, and so on, like Umar radiallahu ta'ala and saying ni'matil bid'atu hadhihi, and therefore indicating that this is at least in bid'ah that is mustahabba, we learned that it is not bid'ah in the shar'i sense, but rather only in the linguistic sense. So bid'ah is always ikhtilaf of tadad, not ikhtilaf of tanawwu'. Yes, there are levels of it, some more serious than others, as we have pointed out earlier today. We have also to distinguish between ma'asiyah and bid'ah. Every ma'asiyah, every bid'ah is ma'asiyah, but not every ma'asiyah is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is a ma'asiyah, but not every ma'asiyah is a bid'ah. Bid'ah is worse than ma'asiyah, because in ma'asiyah the individual knows that he or she is doing wrong. They do wrong knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love what he or she is doing. If a person smokes, if a person takes intoxicants, if a person transacts in riba, wal-a'yadu billah, if a person indulges in promiscuity, as a Muslim, as a mu'min, as a faithful believer knows that he or she is doing wrong, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those things. And therefore, there is a chance, there is room for such an individual to repent. But a person who does something that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love, which is bid'ah, the person who commits bid'ah believes that this is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore would never, rarely or never, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and would oftentimes invite others to the same. That is why it is worse than ma'asiyah, and that is why it is ikhtilafu tadad and not ikhtilafu tanawwu'. Nevertheless, our response to that, first our response to any ikhtilaf of tadad is always, especially let's say for Muslims living in a non-Islamic environment, is always to respond with always da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to respond with rifq, to respond with kindness and with gentleness, always under any circumstance to respond with rifq as a first response, whether in an Islamic environment or in a non-Islamic environment. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul, that is what they taught us. Even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under the incessant persecutions of the mushrikun when they were in Mecca radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to respond in gentleness, in kindness and in patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, for example pertaining to that, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَغْفِرُوا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ أَيَّامَ اللَّهِ. Say to or command the believers to forgive those who do not hope for the days of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches them, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن السيئة نحن أعلم بما يصفون. Repel evil with that which is beautiful, for we are aware of what they do. We are aware of what they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins upon Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, واصبر واصبر وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, and react in patience and endurance. Your patience and endurance will be by Allah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in admonishing us through a specific event that occurred with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he says, ما كان الرفق في شيء إلا زانه ومن تزع الرفق من شيء illa shana. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever rifq, gentleness in approach, is introduced in anything, it will beautify it. And whenever gentleness, rifq, is deprived from anything or stripped from anything, it will vilify it, said he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The text and the incidents are too numerous to enlist. That is what we seek to do, my dear brothers and sisters. And second, we admonish, we share with those with whom we have this disagreement of tawad, what we believe the truth is and why it is the truth. Keeping in mind, as we have said many times before, that this approach, the da'wah, is a form of al-amr bil-ma'roof wal-nahi anil-munkar, and that da'wah will not be beneficial, I'm sorry, will not be fruitful and blessed if da'wah does not begin with oneself. If I invite others to that which I do not have, if I invite others to a home that I don't have, when you invite, da'wah is invitation, I must invite some people to a place where I am. Should I, can I invite people to where I am not? They will ask me, where do you want me to come? I have to give them reference of space and time where I am. Correct? So if I am not where I am calling them to be, they won't come. That is because when we preach what we don't ourselves practice, fruit of what we preach will not be blessed. It will not be there, that is, spiritually speaking. Keeping that in mind, inviting others through education, through learning, through sharing, through practicing, through prayer, through prayer, through prayer. Inviting others through prayer to change in your dua, in your salah. For the ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change hearts of man and of people are too numerous to count. They're not only empirical, they are ways by which the hearts communicate sometimes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through that, may change others from being completely in opposition with us to being in harmony with us, from being in hate against us and despise us to loving us and to caring for us. We have always to look at how we invite others, how we want others to change. And in doing that, we have to also know sometimes the probable consequences of what we are inviting them to, and the probable consequences of how we are inviting them, in which way, what to do. And that is very important. مَآلُ مَآلُ الْقَوْلِ وَمَآلُ الْحُكْمِ وَمَآلُ الْفَتْوَى, that we learned about also yesterday, the probable consequences of what we say and of what we do are very important in this path of attempting to produce change because of tawad differences, because of differences of conflict, if you will. We have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us also, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. سأل الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verily does not forbid you with regards to those who do not fight you because of your faith, nor expel you away from your homes. He does not forbid you with regards to those to be barr to them and to be just to them. And to be barr is the relationship that we usually hold with our parents. A relationship of kindness, of excellence in conduct with our parents. Al-birru bil-walidain is mandatory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He doesn't forbid you with regards to those who are not Muslim. Complete tawadun tam. Complete tawad. There is tawadun tam or tawadun juz'i. Of course, in that which is opposition, there is that which is fully opposition, and that which is partially, not fully. So pertaining to even that, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are not to treat them in other than justice and birr. إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَنْ تَوَلَّوْهُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids you with regards to those who fight you because of your faith, physically fight you because of your faith, combatively fight you because of your faith. قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ and expel you from your homes and support others in expelling you from your homes. With regards to those, Allah forbids you, He forbids you al-mu'alah. He does not forbid you to be just for them. To be just to them is necessary, is an act of ibadah, is mandatory. For Allah everywhere says in the Quran that this is a constant. Justice is a constant. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا يَعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ, says Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let not the hatred or injustices of others to you swerve you from being just. Do justice, that will bring you nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they hate you and despise you and do injustice to you, you do not do injustice to them. What you don't do is mu'alah, is to ally yourselves with them at the expense of the believers. That you show them mawaddah and hubb at the expense of the believers. That you support them against the believers. Al-mu'alah is what you must not do, cannot do. You do not have hubb for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have hubb for. It's an essential parameter of our aqeedah. You do not have hubb for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have hubb for, or for those who don't have hubb for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, or for those who do not have hubb and hate those who have hubb for Allah and His Rasul. That's a constant. And I'm saying hubb, I'm not saying love. I'm saying hubb, I'm not saying love. For love in the English language is also translated in Arabic as rahmah. Remember that, very important. And rahmah is a love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself keeps for everyone. even for the worst creatures in the universe, for the worst of criminals, for the worst of beings, Allah still has rahmah for everyone. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My rahmah, my love, my merciful love embraces everything in this creation of His subhanahu wa ta'ala. Were it not for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His creatures, He would leave no creature on earth because of the transactions, of the transgressions, I'm sorry, of the creatures against themselves and against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the injustices that creatures cause on this earth, humans in particular. If He were subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, that were He, I think this is in Surah Fatir, were He subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold the human beings to account for everything they do, He would leave on the face of the earth non-living. But His rahmah wasi'at kulla shay. He continues subhanahu wa ta'ala to show His merciful love to His creatures and to give them respite upon respite upon respite, to come back to Him, to repent to Him, to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to even this type of ikhtilaf al-tazad, that is kufr or shirk, He says, this is how we ought to behave. And as long as the other party, if you will, is not somehow imposing those tawaddi values upon us, that is the relationship that we have to hold with them. And sometimes, if that tawaddi state of affairs continues such that, as faithful, as believers, or as Muslims, we are imposed upon that, even if it be by forceful ways, and those forceful ways do not have to be military, but they may be other ways, then we have to, if we cannot change the situation, we have to save ourselves. We have to keep away. You all know that if you continue to be exposed, especially through imposition, not only exposure, but imposition, you will gradually, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not save, we will gradually change and succumb to the pressures of the powerful. So you leave. You leave first with your heart. Always, always, always leave with your heart. Always leave with your heart the munkar. Always struggle to leave with your heart the munkar. Because if you leave your heart with your heart the munkar, that which is evil, that which is immoral, that which is wrong, that which is unjust, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really granted you a great gift. And then it would facilitate for you, it would facilitate for us, sometimes a decision if it were to be made to leave physically. Al-Hijrah. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded on His believers, didn't He? In Mecca. For you do not want, no one wants to lose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, the center of our unity. If we lose that, if the electron loses its nucleus, وَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْأَمْثَالِ, and may Allah be exalted, then they have no existence. They will be rogue electrons. We want to be around our center of unity always, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْأَمْثَالِ. And that's why the person, even as we remain in a certain geographical location in the world, wherever we may be, and there is ikhtilaf tadad, let's say, between even Muslims, and that we get to the point where we are unable to change it, and it is being imposed upon us one way or the other, then what to do? Instead of reacting in a violent and aggressive way, what to do? Keep away. Al-hijratu wal-hujran. Al-hijratu wal-hujran. To keep away from that. To migrate, to emigrate away from washar. Because we know through certainly human experience and human psychology and sociology that with time what will happen? With time what will happen? I will what? I will change. I will succumb to those pressures. If not me, to a certain degree I'll be diluted perhaps. And then the next generation will be diluted even further, and the next generation, until sometimes along the way, the generation, a generation, does not know anymore its center of gravity, its center of unity. And who loses? Do you want any human being to be miserable as a mu'min for not knowing Allah, being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's painful. It's miserable. The illusions and the delusions that some humans may have are only temporary. They are veiled, the qulub are veiled. You don't want anyone to be away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the most painful punishment. And what awaits in Akhirah, adha wa amar. And what awaits in Akhirah, in the hereafter, is even worse and most bitter. So I keep away. Some ulama, in their Islamic environment, with all the means of change and so on and so forth, sometimes they used to say, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of them had said, لَأَنْ أَرَى فِي الْمَسْجِدِ نَارًا لَا أَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ أُغَيِّرَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَرَى بِدْعَةً لَا أَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ أُغَيِّرَهَا. لَأَنْ أَرَى نَارًا فِي الْمَسْجِدِ لَا أَسْتَطِيعُ إِطْفَاءَهَا أحب إلي من أن أرى بدعة لا أستطيع أن أغيرها. With his deep inside, know the consequences of what this would lead to, especially later on along the way, and perhaps a generation or two later, he would say, رحمه الله تعالى, that I would see a fire, a physical fire in a masjid, and I'm unable to extinguish it. It's easier for me to see a bid'ah that I'm unable to change. That I'm unable to change. And we always look at change when we want to produce a change. What we do to change, what will it most likely produce? Remember that. Al-ma'al, the probable consequence. If my attempt at changing it, at modifying and rectifying, in my best estimation, scholarly estimation, historic estimation and other estimations depending on the situation, if that estimation leads to most probably that the mafsada will outweigh the maslaha I seek in the change, that what do I do? I don't do that. From what we learned also yesterday and before, dar'u al-mafasidi awla min jalb al-masalih. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to change things just because of changing things the way we want them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants order to continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to restore for humans the original state of peace. And if what we do will disturb that even further, even though it is towards what we think is right, towards what we know is right, then I don't do that. Also, our ulama were very clear, rahmahullah ta'ala, pertaining to producing change in this case when there is qudra. When there is qudra. In other words, when one has the authority and the ability to do that without leading to worse consequences. And that's qudra. But if there is no qudra, even if there is knowledge, and there is other conditions are met, but there is no qudra, there's no power, then I do not do that because of the probable consequences to be more detrimental than the intended positive change to be introduced. لذلك يعني in the usuli rule, in usul al-fiqh, that applies of course to many situations, the rule says لا تكليف إلا بمقدور. لا تكليف إلا بمقدور. Also لا تكليف إلا بمعلوم ولا تكليف إلا بمقدور. That no one, the law, the sharia, does not impose or does not require an individual to do something, whatever that responsibility is. Takleef, ahkam takleefiyya, we learned yesterday about that there is no takleef by that which is not maqdoor, which is not within the qudra of the individual, within the power and the authority and the ability and the capacity of the individual. Nor is there takleef by that which is not ma'loom, not knowable and not known to the person. I always, subhanAllah, wonder when it comes to secular law. Oftentimes you have never heard of any law, a law that was passed centuries ago, and nobody knows about it, and somehow from the blue you violated that law. You yourself didn't know about it until you had to dig in the books for 6 months as an expert lawyer. And you expect regular people, you know, to abide, to comply by a law they don't know? In Shara, that is an abomination. That's a travesty of law, not of justice. And anyone who breaks that has broken a Shari'i principle. لا تكليف إلا بمعلوم. That's why if a person committed zina, for example, assume that in some, did not know, new Muslim did not know that zina was haram, Allah does not punish him, and there is no worldly punishment in this dunya if we can truly show that. I didn't know, wallahi I didn't know, no knowledge of that. لا تكليف إلا بمعلوم ولا تكليف إلا بمقدور, and so on, and we can go on, I think. But however, these are the most essential elements I would like to remind myself of and you pertaining to our response to اختلاف التضاد, keeping in mind الهجران also as one of the last resorts, because I need to be also as an individual and as a family, as a community, I need to continue my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gravitate around the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm in an environment that will impose otherwise on me, and I would gradually dilute my values and lose them, wal-iyaz billah, and then embrace that which was tawad, which will become my own, I must find a different environment. I must find a different environment more conducive to the preservation and the promotion of my value of Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what that requires in the context we've been talking about so far. What we are also to observe pertaining to ikhtilaf in general, and ikhtilaf of tanawwu' also in particular, and Imam Shatibi points this out also, rahimahullah ta'ala, that any ikhtilaf that leads to furqa, any ikhtilaf, let's say, amongst the body of the Muslim ummah, whether in a community or in a nation or in the larger scale, any ikhtilaf that leads to a furqa originates in hawa, has nothing to do with seeking the truth, even though people may claim that as long as they want. Any ikhtilaf, any type of disagreement and difference and differences that lead to furqa, that lead to division and lead to hostility in a sense, consequently, then that has nothing to do with seeking the truth. It has to do, and it must have to do with hawa, nafsani inclinations. It has nothing to do with haqq, with deen, with Islam. An ikhtilaf that does not lead to furqa, ikhtilaf amongst, in the body of this ummah, that does not lead to furqa, that is an ikhtilaf, if you will, also of tanawwu'. That is an ikhtilaf that does not originate most likely in the deeper recesses of the nafs, but it is a genuine difference of opinion in seeking the truth. But if it leads to furqa, that is the nafs. That is not seeking the truth. Because the truth is, by the way, al-haq is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called also al-haq. One of his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-haq, the truth. And he is one, and the truth is one, in the ultimate sense. So if I am seeking the truth, I'm seeking the one. So if you found him, I didn't find someone else. If I found the truth and you found the truth, he's one, so there is no reason to differ. Because what I was looking for, I found. And what you were looking for, you found. And it's the same, it's one. If I seek that truth, if I seek, the daily truth in the light of the absolute truth, if I seek specific and the particulars of the truth in my life in the light of the absolute truth, it will always be in this way. I will not divide. But if I seek a truth and many truths outside of the absolute truth, then I may be led to, we may be led to different paths and to different truths, some of which are untruths. لِأَنَّ الْحَقَّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَاحِدٌ لَا يَتَجَزَّأُ. In this more global philosophical way to look at the question of haqq, the question of truth, my dear brothers and sisters. Sometimes in our encounters, and we must not absolve ourselves from the same, in our encounters with others with whom we disagree and who are wrong, and I say we must not absolve ourselves from the fact that we may be the ones who are wrong. I'm afraid that sometimes we learn things again. The nafs says, when we learn things, it's to apply them to others. Did you notice this attitude of us? And when we speak about they and they, and you must do they, you must do they. What about I? What about me? And we have learned, and we're learning, that that's where it begins. So everything I share with you, pray that I am speaking to myself first, and that what you learn, you learn it for, each one learns it for him or herself. and not to apply to others. Not so that I can apply it to others, so I can tell the others, this is where you're wrong, this is where you're right. So that I can tell this other one inside of me, my nafs, you're wrong. Keep that in mind, my dear brothers and sisters. So, if we are in a certain situation, the like of which we are the ones who could be in, and then people are speaking or indulging in that which is falsehood, that which is اختلاف وتضاد, that which we do not enjoy nor enjoin as Muslims, or as Muslims, human beings who share some same values. And I'm in a situation where I do not have the authority nor the wisdom requires that I say, please don't. Stop. If I can't avoid that, if I cannot change that, what should I do? Again, I should excuse myself. Lest my nafs will somehow even begin to condone that. And subhanAllah, I know since the time I have been observing myself first and sometimes the environment around me, people, some friends, non-Muslims and others, who began years ago for about a particular issue, they were in disagreement of it, an immoral issue. As time passed, with more exposure, and being around companions or groups of people that do practice that immoral behavior, with time, these people not only do not see that anymore as aggressive and wrong and immoral, but as moral. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. وَفِي آيَةٍ أُخْرَى فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ayah. That is, and if you witness those who yakhudun, وَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا. Al-khawd is to speak and to argue. Al-khawd, when usually it is used in the Quran, that is argument and speech and talk with hawa. Motivated and moved by the inclinations of the nafs, intellectual and philosophical and ideological hawa, not by motivated by a state of truth, balance, justice, logic itself. Sometimes we paint our own inclinations with a brush of logic. You know what I mean? We have inclinations inside, philosophical and ideological, and we paint that with a brush of logic. Especially those who are unfamiliar will be impressed. So he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you witness people, يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا, in our signs, that which reminds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, matters of truth, matters of right, matters of wrong, matters of morality, matters of good, matters of evil, that is the most important issues that face man. The most important issues that face man is not how to build a bomb. for her to build a shuttle. Everybody can do that with time. Most important issues that face man is the destiny of man. Who is man? Why is man? So if you see them يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرَضْ عَنْهُمْ, then keep away from them. حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, until they begin to indulge in other discourse, then you may return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, didn't say leave them forever. That's it. No, just subhanAllah, it's a sense, it's an act of compassion for yourself. So that you don't witness that. And it's in a sense also, possibly, helping them so that they will see, well, there is one who disagrees at least. And then some of them may think. Instead of being there and showing them that indirectly or tacitly approving what they say, though you didn't say I approve, but staying there and saying nothing for many is an act of tacit approval. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not stay with them. In another ayah, Allah in Surah An-Nisa subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you stayed, فَإِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ. If you stay, if you don't leave, he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are like them. If I am in a group of people who are يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, in a way that is disrespectful, in a way that is unscholarly, in a way that is aggressive, in a way that is deconstructive, destructive, then I should not be there. That does not benefit me, that does not benefit them, my dear brothers and sisters. In conclusion, with all of this that I want also to reiterate, I think you know what I'm going to say. If I were to summarize all of this in very simple words, all of this which we said, and we could say more in terms of the ethics of disagreement. The ethics of disagreement depends on my nafs. The way I disagree with others, whether I do that the right way or the wrong way, the just way or the unjust way, the peaceful way or the unjust, aggressive way, depends on my state of nafs, not only on what I know and how much I know. And thus I would advise myself continuously and advise you, my sisters and brothers, to always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you on this path of ilm and mujahada, on this path of seeking knowledge, seeking beneficial knowledge, having a regular diet of knowledge, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always inspire us with tawbah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the energies and the bursts that will enable us and engage us in exerting ourselves, struggling against our nufus, in order to cleanse these nufus, so that we can see truth as truth, and so that we can see falsehood as falsehood, and so that we have the natural inclination, when we face a problem, to respond the right way, to respond the beautiful way. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم إن قلت صوابا فمن الله وحده وإن قلت غير ذلك فمن جهلي ومن نفسي ومن الشيطان أعوذ بالله أن أذكر به وأنساه. Again, had I said anything proper and correct and beautiful, it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Anything not correct, ugly, it is my own ignorance, my own nafs, and the impact of shaitan upon that nafs. I seek refuge in Allah that I remind you of Him and yet myself forget Him. وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.